Now they're going to have different gifts and different personalities. They're going to have, I'm sure, faults and failures. But God uses clay vessels. If that wasn't the case, there'd be no hope for any of us. But God uses clay vessels. And I want you to pray that these young people will know God and that they will be that blessing like the tree of life, that out of their lives, as they, you just picture them now taking this gospel literature, and we have 5,000 copies of A New Beginning in leaflet form, condensed it down to just like a bulletin. And you just picture these young people going to the door, knocking, waiting for an answer, and introducing themselves and say, "We're here from wherever, Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and we want to talk to you about the gospel." There is the moment that they need to be a tree of life. There is the moment that they need to have God go before them and give them grace to really present the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Ian Gollaher again, and I trust that God will bless you today as from the pulpit of our church we bring to you the message of the Word. Switching emphasis today to evangelism. Last year we had a group of young people from various Free Presbyterian churches in North America, and they joined with us to learn about evangelism and go actually do it. They went door knocking and they went out into the streets to witness, to sing the gospel, and to give out gospel literature. It was a joyful time and an opportunity for young people to put some actual feet to their praying and to serve the Lord in a practical way. I preached a message on that weekend on Proverbs 11 and the joy of witnessing for the Lord. And that's the message we're going to air today as we bring to you the ministry from our pulpit. We have a little word on the printed page is a missionary. And it really is very impactful on the power of the printed word and how we can all be missionaries by giving out the Word of God and sharing the gospel by literature. Doesn't take a lot of skill, and if it leads to a conversation, well, if not, well, let God bless the seed of his word in print. We have a group of children singing, "Take My Life and Let It Be." And, of course, that's the consecrated life. And I hope that you will dedicate your life to the Lord. There's nothing like a consecrated Christian, one who is sold out for God. And you have turned your back on the world. You have renounced popularity and pride and your own importance. And you are determined that you're going to be a living witness for the Lord Jesus. Make this your prayer today. Take my life and let it be. Now, we have don't have a lot of time for this, but I have a thought on that word where hope maketh not ashamed. What does the apostle mean by that in Romans 5? Well, this hope will not disappoint or deceive. When we hope for an object which we do not attain, we are conscious of great disappointment, perhaps sometimes of a feeling of shame. But the apostle says that the Christian hope is such that it will be fulfilled. It will not disappoint. What we hope for, we shall clearly obtain. And to serve Christ is much better for that very reason. And the expression here used is probably taken from Psalm 22, where it talks about where I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God for the victory that we have in Christ. So stay tuned with us now as we bring to you this message in song, "Take My Life," sung by a group of children.
Let Jesus pray. Our text then is Proverbs 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11, verse 30. I want you to notice in verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. That means the impact, the influence of the righteous person is fruitful. Now, this tree of life makes us, of course, to think of that tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And there was one thing that God noted when he remarked Adam and Eve taking of that fruit of that tree. And it tells us in Genesis 3:6 that it was a tree to be desired to make one wise. Remarkable, isn't it? Here we're talking tonight about he that winneth souls is wise. And Adam and Eve, they were told that it was a tree to make one wise. Now, there was nothing wrong with that tree, which became the forbidden fruit to Adam and Eve, except that they stole the fruit. They were told not to touch it. They were told that it was a tree that was marked off. Separate, keep away from that tree, don't partake of it. There was nothing wrong with the tree except that God made this a test of their obedience. Now, Adam and Eve would have gotten the fruit of it, and they would have gotten all the wisdom of it, all the benefits of it, if only they had obeyed God and gone through with him. Now, remarkably again, we read of a tree of life in heaven, in the book of Revelation, chapter 22, in the midst of the street of it, another side of the river, was there the tree of life. And it bore 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. It is again a tree of life. And it has something of immortality about it because it constantly bears fruit. And of course, you cannot but think of Psalm 1. That tree that was planted by the rivers of water bore its fruit in its season. It was an evergreen. It never wilted. It never went barren. And it stood out, and it says that the blessed man, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And so the righteous, spoken of here in the text we're looking at, Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. There is a wonderful influence. It has a tremendous impact. Now, this is the language used by Solomon, drawing up this proverb, packing all of his wisdom and all of his insight into this little statement, what we call a proverb. It's like a mini parable. It's like a truth in its seed nut form that now needs to be unpacked and opened up, which becomes our task tonight. And what do we notice here? witnessing, soul winning. It's not just something we do, but it's something we are. This is the benefit, this is the impact of the righteous, the godly man or woman. The one who's living for God and living in the blessing of God. He is the one that wins souls. Now, this text may be reversed. And there's an issue here of cause and effect. Is the man wise because he wins souls? Or is he a winner of souls because he's wise? And the answer is, it is because he's righteous. And the influence or the fruit of his life, the impact of his life, that he will be a great blessing to those souls that are around him. And he will win souls. He will catch them. There will be a drawing power in his life that others will know that he's living for the Lord and living with God's blessing. He obviously has great wisdom. And however you read the text, whether you reverse it or keep it as it is here in this translation, you'll notice that this righteous has great wisdom. And it's that we want to look at here this evening. The wisdom of the soul winner. What do we need to know? Well, let's start at the beginning. We need to know God. We need to know who God is. We need to know his heart. We need to know his nature. We need to know the power of his grace. And this is the great advantage that the Bible Christian has, because we can truly say that we do know the living God, and he knows us. The nations of the world and millions in Canada tonight are idolaters. I was reading about India, where Hindus have someone try to calculate how many gods they have, and it's somewhere close to 300 million gods or deities. They are in their temples. They are outside their temples. They are in the property of the temple. They are in the workplace, in the home, in their cars. There are these millions of gods. And they're made out of all kinds of material. One even witnessed a god that was being made from cement. And the cement was being left over from roadworks and just patching the road. And out of this leftover cement, they made a god. And this was their deity. This was the one that they worshipped. The same material that you patch the road with, you bow down and worship. Now you would say, but there's a rising generation that are much better educated. And they will not bow down and worship these visible inanimate deities, but they do. They blindly follow along in the religious bondage of centuries. And if you're living in that land, it is indeed a great darkness. Now we have tonight the knowledge of the living and true God. What can we say about the God whom we worship tonight? Well, let's think about it. First of all, he's a great God. He's the creator of the whole world. Not some deity made out of material, leftover material of man. Not some God that has no eyes to see, no ears to hear, no heart to understand. But we serve the creator of the world. And just think of the marvels of the universe in which we live. He made this earth, placed it in the galaxies where this earth is but a little speck in all the revolutions of the Milky Way that goes on like perfect clockwork. What a wonderful, powerful God we serve. Take the human body. You know, when scientists, researchers study the human anatomy, they just observe. They don't design anything. They don't make anything. Now, they try and replicate certain things, but they don't make the human body. They study it. They seek to understand its function and its workings, the cells and all their nature. And Ewan's here tonight. I can testify to the day that he came home in his first year at UBC taking microbiology, and he put this book on the table and he said, "Dad, this is why I believe that there is a God." And I'm just so happy that he had the faith to understand that what he was being presented at university was not contrary to Christianity. It was only declaring the power and the wisdom of the God who has created. So he's a great God. We also know tonight from the Bible that he's a good God. He's a good God. He's a God who does everything well. You read the creation story, and after each day, he said it was very good. That's before sin came, of course. It was very good. God was delighted with his own creation. It was agreeable to his own loving heart. A God of abundance and bounty. And you think of the plentiful abundance in nature. That is but a small reflection of the nature of the God who created it all. This world today, of course, is but a display of the curse, the fall, the sin, the wars and horrific events that have come into this world. But God, who designed this world, designed it good. The institution of marriage, family, health, food, every provision, all of those things reflect the goodness of God. And as Chester Matari from Liberia would say, God is good all the time. Let that sink into your heart tonight. If you're going to be the righteous as the tree of life, if you're going to be a soul winner, if you're going to be a one who will catch men, then you need to know the God whom we worship and serve. He's great, he's good, but he's also a God of grace, which just staggers our minds. That this great, good God sets his love upon sinful, rebellious men. This is the marvel of the gospel. This is the wonder of the gospel story. That this God has a decree of election. And don't ask me to explain it to you. The Bible teaches this, that from before the foundation of the world, God chose men and women, boys and girls, to eternal life by a decree of electing love. Romans 8:29 puts it, whom God did foreknow, meaning whom he foreloved, he set his heart upon his people. And he entered into a mighty covenant with his Son, the Lord Jesus, that they would, by their power and wisdom, redeem out of this world a people, the church, the bride, and he would redeem you and me out of sin into the family of God. The first mention of grace in the Bible is to do with Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when the world was sinful beyond all imagination, and all of man was corrupt and God would judge the world, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And of course, it really means that God found him. And God set his love upon Noah and saved him from judgment. And it was this God of grace who designed the cross, sent his Son to bleed and die on that tree to redeem you and me and redeem lost sinners. And our God deserves all our worship and all our praises. And that's why we come to church. That's why we sing that hymn of Samuel Davies, number 26 in our hymn book, who is a pardoning God like thee, who has grace so rich and free. And of course, when this gets a hold of your heart, you want to praise him and you want to serve him. But we need to know him. Now, I believe tonight that We have many, and I would have to say the majority that I know here tonight, know the Lord. You're saved. You are redeemed. But do you know God? In Philippians 3:10, you have the Apostle Paul when he was about 25 years after conversion. And here is his plea and the craving of his heart, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now you would say, but Paul knew the Lord. Paul was long time saved. He was already a missionary writing epistles, encouraging Christians. And yet here is his quest, that I might know him. And so there is an experience of God that is way beyond just signing your name to a card, way beyond just making a lip profession, that I accept the facts of the gospel and I rejoice in the work of Calvary. There is a fellowship and experience of the living God that will make you and me like this tree of life. It will make us fruitful, because we will have the life of God flowing into our lives. And how can we miss the picture of the vine and the branches? Where Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And all the life and the glory of the Savior flows into the life of the Christian as a branch. And without that, we can do nothing. And I think that gives us a picture of the wisdom of Solomon. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. We need to know God. We need to know who our God is. We need to know his nature. But we need to know fellowship and power with him. I come to this message tonight because I want everyone in this church to pray much in the nearly 2 weeks that we have coming up. Thursday, these young people arrive. They will be with us a total of 9 days, leading us close to the first Sunday in August. And it is a very special time for us as a congregation. Now, it's a bit of work. It's a bit of organizing. And it's going to require some energy and sacrifice. But it's not often that we get this opportunity. Young zeal, young lives, these are young Christians. These are people who are willing to give up their summer efforts to provide for their next school year and take this time out and be with us to enter into Christian work. Now, they're going to have different gifts and different personalities. They're going to have, I'm sure, faults and failures. But God uses clay vessels. If that wasn't the case, there'd be no hope for any of us. But God uses clay vessels. And I want you to pray that these young people will know God and that they will be that blessing like the tree of life, that out of their lives, as they, you just picture them now taking this gospel literature, and we have 5,000 copies of A New Beginning in leaflet form, condensed it down to just like a bulletin. And you just picture these young people going to the door, knocking, waiting for an answer, and introducing themselves and say, we're here from wherever, Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and we want to talk to you about the gospel. There is the moment that they need to be a tree of life. There is the moment that they need to have God go before them and give them grace to really present the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you for joining with us here on our program, and what a joy to share with you the message of the gospel. And I hope you're challenged today about this evangelistic work that we have recently undertaken in our church. And it's ever our burden to get the gospel out. by every possible means. And the Lord uses living Christians. Sometimes that weakest of vessels, the Lord makes his messenger. Or perhaps you just hand out a gospel leaflet. Here is an account of the power of the written word in leaflet form. The gospel in print is a missionary. It never flinches nor shows cowardice. It is never tempted to compromise. It never tires, never grows discouraged. It travels cheaply and requires no hired haul. It works while others sleep. It never loses its temper. It continues to minister long after the present generation has passed on. The gospel in print is effective. It gains entrance to both the lowly hut and the lofty palace. It speaks to a man at the right time, only when he is reading it. It sticks to what it says and never answers back. It reaches those who otherwise might never be reached. It carries the only authoritative answers. It points the way to eternal life through Jesus Christ. The gospel in print is far-reaching. A pamphlet written by Martin Luther fell into the hands of John Bunyan, and by this means he was converted. Pilgrim's Progress came from his pen, and through that excellent work, thousands were saved. This missionary, the gospel in print, should have the prayerful support of every Christian. Those who make it possible become missionaries of the printed page. And yes, what a work can be done. And if you are looking for good, solid Christian literature that you may give out to your family, friends, and neighbors, then just let me know. Send me an email, give me a phone call. We'll do what you can to arm you up with the written word, and that the Lord may make you a missionary of the cross through the printed word. Thank you for being a part of the program today. And now we have our closing announcements with all the details of our website, phone number, and so on. Thank you for being with us through the program today.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S 1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.